Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
And welcome to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor on her favorite day.
It's Friday.
Yay!
I'm rearranging.
Yep. Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Reed's doing his thing. We already have on the line Media Czar Tom McDonald, who not realize your middle name is James today when I said Happy Feast Day. That was pretty solid, Tom.
Tom's not ready. He put us on mute while he finishes whatever he's doing.
Okay.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
just double checking. So if your middle name is James, does that mean one of these days you're going to go do the Camino? Maybe you and I could do it together?
Oh, I'd love to do Camino.
I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. Who's paying for it?
Yeah.
I think Archangel Radio might do that.
When we get overflowing amounts at our pledge drive next week, we'll put it in the idea basket.
The idea basket.
You know how on social media people pull out an activity out of their idea basket. Like that.
Uh-huh. And it will be escalated
yes.
to the top.
That is great. We just pulled for April. You know, were you there that night, Tom?
You've got an idea basket.
We did the couples where you had six ideas from the husband and six from the wife, right? For the year? You weren't there that night?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Anyway, so we've been pulling them. You know, it's like take a long walk, go watch the sunset. The next one that we pulled was go to Adoration together. So we're excited about that this month. It's going to be nice. All right. Let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, who gladden us each year with the feast day of the apostles Philip and James, grant us through their prayers a share in the passion and resurrection of your only begotten Son, so that we may merit to behold you for eternity. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Ike's Beach Service, with locations in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, Fort Morgan, and Perdido Key. Enjoy fun in the sun with Ike's Beach Services, including paddleboards, parasailing adventures, and beach equipment rentals. Visit ikesbeachservice.com or call 251-948-3757.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Former President Donald Trump is polling more than 10 points ahead of President Joe Biden among Catholic voters, thanks in part to increasing support from Hispanic Catholics, according to a recent Pew survey. According to the survey taken in April, Trump leads Biden among Catholics 55-43%. That's 12-point lead is significant because in 2020, Catholics favored Trump by just 1%. Hispanic Catholics, who make up about 40% of the U.S. church population, continue to favor Biden, however, at a smaller margin. Now they only favor him at 49%, where right before the 2020 election, Hispanic Catholics voted for Biden at a margin of 67%. Police forcefully removed a pro-Palestinian encampment and arrested more than 200 people at the University of California in Los Angeles Thursday, as violent episodes continue to escalate and police are cracking down in various campuses across the country. UCLA Chancellor said in a written statement that 300 people were arrested, 200 people were arrested and 300 left voluntarily. It doesn't seem the protests are changing the view on the conflict in Gaza for President Biden, who doesn't support Gaza or calling in the National Guard to deal with the campus protests. An emerging field of research called cryonutrition indicates that choosing the right foods at mealtimes will improve our sleep. Some key findings: eat dinner early, keep consistent schedules, and yes, drink milk. eating the Mediterranean or similar healthy diet is linked to a reduction of insomnia in a just published review of 37 studies. The research also found unhealthy diets high in carbohydrates and processed food are associated with insomnia. Roughly a third of Americans don't get enough recommended 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And in sports news, the Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leaf series going to game 7 back to Boston on Saturday night. So
there you go.
That's for the hockey fans.
There you go.
I don't know what happened in basketball.
So here we are in May. So yes, we're heading into the closing of the school year and into the summer blockbusters. But it seems like some of these movies are being released now, right, Tom?
Yeah, they usually get started early May, late April, with the first couple big releases. Next week's big release is The Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, which I'm super excited about because I love those movies. But this week, the first big one that has really, they've really been pushing it in terms of the trailers and the commercials and everything else, is The Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, which we saw last night with some of our boys.
Incredible, likable stars. So right off the bat, you're going to get a draw, right, Tom?
Oh, yeah. This, I mean, arguably, Ryan Gosling is the most popular guy in Hollywood right now. He's sort of, you know, for years, Tom Hanks was that guy that everybody loved, you know, and you'd see a movie just because Tom Hanks was in it without knowing anything else about it. And I think, you know, Tom Hanks is kind of, he's older and kind of on the back end of his career at this point. And Ryan Gosling seems to have kind of filled that spot in a way. He's been in so many movies that have done so well. And he's had a wide range, too. He has, you know, he's not been typecast. And so I think his popularity kind of peaked last summer when he played Ken in the Barbie movie. And the irony there was that the whole point of the story was that Ken played second fiddle to Barbie. And yet when it came to the Oscar nominations, he got nominated and Margot Robbie, who played Barbie, did not.
Ouch.
So kind of flipped it around, but he was in that. And then Emily Blunt was in Oppenheimer, which was the big Oscar winner from last summer. And now the two of them, you know, both very likable, popular actors in this film together, right off the bat, it's going to draw people. Just like if you say to somebody, oh, there's a movie and Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are in it, without knowing anything else, there's a certain percentage of people who just go see it because the two of them are in it. So it's off to a good start that way.
Right. Although Ellen wanted to comment, I think, on the trailer.
Well, okay, before we get going, all I saw was the trailer. I didn't go with you guys. You guys don't even invite me anymore. You're like, she's not going to want to go.
Which is true.
I watched it. I felt like, and this is a generational thing, it did look good. I felt like I was watching the Days of Thunder trailer when Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, it had the same vibe. You just changed up the story a little bit. You didn't have a race car driver. You had a stunt guy. You had the intelligent woman trying to, you know, get him out of his madness in some ways and redirect him. It was the same movie. It was exactly the same movie, and I'm probably right.
Well, I guess we can just wrap it up then.
Okay, we're done here.
Continue though.
I can see where I can see where you can see that in the trailer. That does make sense. And I'm getting so old now that I either never saw Days of Thunder or I only saw it once and can't remember it. I'm not sure which it is, but this film, this is more. Ellen, did you ever see the TV series The Fall Guy that this movie is based on, starring Lee Majors?
A few episodes. I was more into him when he was $6 Million Man. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's if you would have told me, you know, 10 years ago, hey, Hollywood, which reboots everything, is going to reboot a TV series that Lee Majors starred in, I would have bet my house on that it was going to be the $6 million man.
Right.
And not The Fall Guy. Mm-hmm. But here we are. No one's made a big budget $6 million man But yet. Here we are with the Fall Guy.
Yeah, yet.
Yet. Yeah, and it'd have to make him $6 billion. But so the Fall Guy was a series that Lee Majors was in post $6 Million Man. And I think it was on from like 1981 to 86, somewhere in there. It was one of those shows. It was one of those ubiquitous 80s kind of action comedy, lighthearted shows like Magnum P.I. Mm-hmm. and, I'm drawing a blank, or Remington Steele, where it was, it was episodic with an adventure each week of some guy who finds himself in a pickle with some bad guys. And it's not too serious. They resolve everything by the end of the hour. And so the Fall Guy was one of those shows. And I remember watching an episode here and there on occasion, but I wouldn't say I was a fan of the show. It was just sort of there. Mm-hmm. And even when I first saw the trailer to this movie, it didn't occur to me that this was a reboot of that TV show. Like, I didn't even make that connection until it was explicitly said that that's what this was. I'm like, oh, really? They're doing this? I didn't know it was that successful. Having said all that, the movie is it's scoring. And again, we're talking about The Fall Guy. It's scoring 85% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty darn high for the critics. It's rated PG-13. Content-wise, it's got some bad language in it, just sadly like everything does nowadays. You just sort of take that as a given, that there's a smattering of bad language. Aside from that, the violence in the movie is like 80s TV show violence. It's not gory, bloody violence. It's not anything like completely intense or dramatic. It's that sort of action popcorn violence. There's no gratuitous sex scenes or anything like that. There is a romance between the two leads, but it's not, they show them kissing in one scene briefly, and that's really about it. So it's content-wise, it's pretty clean, which is refreshing. It's also what I really liked about the movie is it's very, and I didn't really say what it's about. If you're not familiar with the Fall Guy TV show, so Ryan Gosling plays a Hollywood stuntman named Colt Seavers, who has sort of a romance, on-off romance with a new Hollywood director played by Emily Blunt. And he is the stuntman for a fictional movie star named Tom Ryder, which, Ryder sounds a whole lot like Cruise. But Tom Ryder is he boasts about doing all his own stunts and everything, which isn't true. This Colt Seavers does all the stunts. And through a series of events, Tom Ryder goes missing from the movie set, and Colt is tasked with trying to find him. He's fallen in with some bad guys or something. And so Colt, while filming, doing stunts for the movie, is also looking for the star, gets involved in. It's very far-fetched, which is exactly what those 80s TV shows were like. The plot very much fits in that vein. And the film it's a throwback. It's really a throwback because it plays, it's a great homage to those 80s shows. The plot is not heavy. The plot is not complicated. There is no agenda. There's no hidden messaging or you might want to call it wokeness or anything like that. It's very old fashioned in that way. The stars are both likable. Their characters are likable. They exude charisma off the screen. The film has the budget. I'm not sure what the budget was. It must have been huge. But because it centers around the stunt profession, they go all out with the stunts in this movie. There's just stunt after stunt after stunt. And it really is a celebration of the profession and the art of being a stuntman and all that goes into that. And so that was really cool to see. It's not a great movie. I wouldn't say, oh, this is a great movie. You got to see it. I would say this is a solid popcorn summer. Just enjoy yourself at the movies. Escape for 2 hours. It checks all those boxes.
I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, Tom. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that much from it, and it exceeded my expectations.
Because even the relationship between the two main characters, I kind of enjoyed it, the angsty thing, you know, when she was having him redo that one stunt and kept talking through the bullhorn. This is not really a spoiler. It was just funny. It was funny the way they laid it out.
Yeah, and it's hard to describe. You know, there's comedies where they're laugh out loud, funny, gut busting, and all that. And this is definitely an action comedy, and there's not many times in the movie that you're going to laugh out loud. But you're just sort of going to smile and be amused by the thing throughout. And that's not a sign that it's not a good comedy. That's what this movie is trying to achieve. Is just to help just give you an enjoyable, feel-good experience. And, I mean, the Lord knows that we need escapism right now. I feel like with the state of the world, we are primed for a resurgence of this kind of movie where you go and you just enjoy it and escape and leave your concerns at the door. And I think that this is there's really a lane here for Hollywood to pump out some good movies of this sort with this sort of tone to them, for sure.
Well, that I think we agree on that, Tom. It does seem that Hollywood has sometimes been overly angst in their movies and sometimes, you know, to get serious points across. But movie after movie, particularly the last decade, has just been, if it's not a comic book movie, it's something that is just, it's not pleasant to go to. So,
how many post-apocalyptic movies and TV shows have there been in the last 10 years? I mean, mm-hmm. It's just every premise is, well, the world blew up and now what are
you?
Although, this is not that.
Although some of the trailers were, you know, we were watching these trailers beforehand, and I'm like, yeah. I don't want to see that. Or, you know, I turned to you at one point in time. I'm like, nopey, nope. You know, I'm not going to see something like that. So I don't know if they understand who their audience is, right, Tom?
Yeah, yeah. It's the idea that our goal is to entertain people seems to have gotten lost somewhere. Like I think back. Maybe I'm nostalgic for the 80s, but I feel like in the 80s, Hollywood understood that we're trying to entertain people. So you think of movies like Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. The goal of that movie is to entertain people, to give them a good time. And now it seems like the goal is messaging. The goal is being taken seriously or saying something, quote unquote, important or to be shocking somehow. Or to challenge people. And there's room for all of those things. But it's the relentlessness of it has just been, especially when you turn on the news in real life and everywhere you turn is just insanity. We need a way to get away from that. And if this is a clue that Hollywood is going, yeah, you know, maybe we should just try entertaining people. I think they could make a lot of money. People are asking, you know, why are like Marvel, there's been a lot of discussion of these Marvel movies that the last several Marvel movies have kind of flopped. And why is it superhero fatigue? And I think that's part of it. But I also think, you know, those earlier Marvel movies were really just entertaining and kind of inspiring, you know, Captain America and the Avengers and all that. That was entertaining stuff. And the last several movies have been, well, we gotta feature a hero with this ethnicity, and we've gotta really give equal time to this, and we gotta, you know, show you there's been too much overthinking of the agenda in those films, and the entertainment aspect has taken a backseat, and so people quit going because I get enough agenda when I watch the news. I don't need it in every movie that I go see. It's just please just entertain me, and The Fall Guy does that. If you just want to be entertained, go see The Fall Guy. It's I think it'd be fine for I think, you know, middle schoolers on up, probably it would be fine for it. It is rated PG-13 primarily for some language. But aside from the language, it's pretty it's a fairly safe bet, I think, for some of the younger viewers.
Yeah, I probably would have brought my son, Andrew, who's about to turn 13. But I wasn't comfortable since I hadn't seen it before. You know, so I brought Peter, my 15-year-old, and of course my son Joe is 30, so
he was cool. You guys all had a guy time there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna go back and bring Caroline and bring my daughter Elizabeth Ann, who is 14, and I think they would both enjoy it.
Indeed.
Sounds good, Tom McDonald. We will speak to you, and we look forward to the summer movie rollout. I hope there's something for me soon. Have a great week.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom.
And Tom, may the 4th be with you tomorrow.
Oh, there we go.
And
get
also
that
with
in.
You.
And with your spirit.
No. I don't know what lane you guys are traveling down. Alyssa Murphy's joining the show. Bill Maher's comments on social media, they're going to shock you, maybe surprise you, possibly. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning. The heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. Oh, I want something just like this. Oh, there we go, Mikey. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. Oh, it's Friday here. On the line with us is Alyssa Murphy. She's the digital editor at National Catholic Register. And we're looking at her article that she wrote on Bill Maher's shocking respect for the pro-life movement. Alyssa, this kind of surprised me when I read through your article. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is so true. Mm-hmm. Bill Maher is normally raising eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And lately he's been doing it. Almost for the right reasons. He was talking to Piers Morgan, as well as a British author, Gillian Tett. This was just after Trump's big statement on abortion, where he said he would leave it to the states. And it was kind of amazing. Bill Maher really talked about how the pro-life movement, when you think of the absolutist position, he said, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left when they say pro-lifers hate women. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think abortion is murder, and it kind of is. And he actually, you know, said his reasoning falls that there's, you know, 8 million people in the world, so he won't miss them. But what was really amazing was this equation of abortion being murder, and it literally left the room. You could hear crickets. There was no sound whatsoever. And then it was kind of amazing because he doubled down a little bit and went to Piers Morgan and said, so, you know, you said you're pro-choice. That's your position too? And Morgan could have said something, could have rebutted with all of the pro-abortion terminology, calling it reproductive health or women's choice, but he just nodded. And I really think it has to do with the fact that Bill Maher put it in real terms that abortion literally is murder, and there were, you know, all he could do was nod at that point.
When I was reading your article, Alyssa, it reminded me of, I'm trying to remember exactly where I read this op-ed piece. Someone had sent it to me. And it was a while ago because they sent it via email. You know, it wasn't a text or anything like that. And I read it. And when you first started reading it, you would have thought it was a pro-life writer, that somebody was very pro-life, because they said, we've got to be honest about what's going on with abortion, that it is, you know, ending the life of a child. I don't think they used the word murder, but it was ending the life of a child. You know, there is a heartbeat. They're going on and on. And I'm like, kudos to this writer. This is great. And then it turns out at the end, they go, but that's the right of the mother. So it was actually a pro-choice thing. But at least they were being as honest as Bill Maher is here, that we've got to be that frank. I know it makes people uncomfortable, but we have to be that frank. That's why. Like, I had a discussion with a family member that they were like, I can't believe, you know, you feel this way. And I'm like, listen, I'm always going to defend the life of the child. I'm always going to defend that because that's where we are. And they try to bring up, you know, the same points elicited, like, what about rape? What about incest? It's like, listen, those are terrible ways to bring children into the world, but it's still a child. It's still a child that has dignity. It's still a child that is worthy of being protected. Like, that's a life. Like, we don't have, we should not have the right to end the life of that child. Does that make sense, Alyssa?
Yeah, and you know, it really comes down to kind of these liberal talking points that have really kind of taken over the entire pro-abortion regime, because now it's never just in rare circumstances. It's supposed to be paraded around. We had Kamala Harris yesterday, you know, going to Florida where they just enacted the Florida 6-week abortion ban, you know, screaming at her top of her lungs about reproductive health and women's choice. But really, there's no one in the world that's ever shouting their abortions. Mm. No one in the world that ever is going to go have a party with her friends because she had to end a life in her. These are all very grievous things on the page in our hearts, what we know about what God says, but also for any woman that's gone through it. It's a terrible, traumatic, painful thing. And it's a real death. And that's why I think what Bill Maher said, I just had to applaud him. And that's not always the case. He does say a lot of things in the other direction. But I think at this critical moment in our culture, he's really, really making liberals own their words, because he's had a few other monologues, you know, on maybe the DEI movement, things like that. And it's getting to this point where even if a liberal were to look at the facts, their argument doesn't hold up anymore. And especially this could be very critical in the pro-life moment because of the window to the womb, what we can see with ultrasound, what we know about the heartbeat, that these aren't things that we can just, you know, wash away anymore. This is a real thing. A lot of women walk around with pictures of their babies that are still in their tummy. And I think at this moment when we are in a post-Roe world, it is a beautiful moment for the pro-life generation to be able to speak up and to have someone like Bill Maher with his platform make some of these liberal, you know, pro-abortion advocates own up to what they're really saying.
Well, I think, Alyssa, what's becoming clear as since the reversal of Roe versus Wade is that we have to speak with clarity in words on what the truth is. Because if you want to have that pro-choice position, you got to own it in its authenticity. It is murder. Bill Maher is just pointing that out to the people. And but his, of course, his follow-up comment, but I'm okay with that because there's 8 billion people in the world.
And, wow.
And but I think in order for the lines to be drawn, because these fights are coming now to every state level. We see it what happened in Arizona this week where they had dusted off an old law from 1860-something banning abortion. And immediately the Democratic governor shot that down, I believe, yesterday or invalidated it. So the fight is going to come now to a more localized place, whether it's your community, your state. And if we're going to change hearts in the culture, which is where this fight will be won secondarily with laws, one might come before the other. But we have to give them the words that they are actually saying. This is what you are really doing. And they got to own the language. We can't let them get away with sending Kamala Harris out to talk about reproductive rights. Todd, you made a great point yesterday. The reproduction has already happened. Now you're on to the murder.
Yeah.
And that's the truth of the situation. And I think we're going to have to speak with these clear voices because it is coming at every state level as groups push back now to try to hold the line on their abortion demands across the country.
And, just recently, AP ran a story about conservative Catholics and how kind of backwards they are and traditional Catholics being a bad thing. And it's just a real sad, it's a truth that there's this beauty in the church where we're even seeing young millennials, going into traditional Latin masses because they want something real. They want something that will stand the test of time. And it's sad that this AP story actually tried to, place Pope Francis kind of in the midst of their mindset. But Pope Francis, has one of the most strongest statements on abortion, making it tantamount to hiring a hitman, mm-hmm. which it really, really is. And one thing that this entire monologue really brought to my mind was years ago now when Mother Teresa visited the Clinton administration, when they were in the White House, Bill and Hillary Clinton, and she was at the prayer breakfast. And it was the same kind of scenario where the entire room, you could have heard a pin drop because nobody was saying a word because Mother Teresa was talking in real terms about the life of a child and how this is murder. And I think, as you were saying, it's a real critical moment where we don't talk in the euphemism anymore. We talk about this is a reality and there's nothing that can hide that anymore. And that's what was so interesting about what Bill Maher said, is because he said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah.
He said the thing normally people don't say. You don't say that. Those are the talking points. And you see the talking points? You're not supposed to say that.
Right.
And here he is begging someone else on the liberal side, on the progressive side, to agree with him. And there wasn't any kind of rebuttal. It was a quiet nod.
Yeah, which is not owning it. You know, the same time that Mother Teresa came to the U.S. and spoke at that prayer breakfast, Alyssa, I was teaching at a Catholic high school. And our faculty work room was a very large room packed with desks. Every one of the faculty members had a desk area. And in the back corner was a teacher that taught history. He had been there forever. I mean, he was in his 60s. And he put up a picture of an aborted child. And I have to admit, it was brutal. It was brutal. Like, he put it up, next to his desk. And the child had been torn from his mother's womb with forceps. Wow. And it was a terrible photo. It was terrible. But it was true. It was true what had happened. And another one of the teachers there kept covering it up. She kept going over and covering it up whenever he wasn't there. And he brought it up at a faculty meeting and was upset. Like, who's touching my stuff on my desk? And she admitted it. She's like, it's me. I can't look at that picture. That's ridiculous. You shouldn't have that. It's gory. And he goes, but it's true. It's true what's happening. This is what's happening. And we forget it. We're not praying for these children because it's the hush hush. It's done quietly and in the dark and we don't see it. And I think Bill Maher is trying to say, listen, this is what's going on and somebody's got to own this. Right, Alyssa?
It's so true. And if you fast forward even to now, I mean, that might have been the era where partial birth abortion was a real thing, where the baby was essentially alive and they were bringing it out and killing it. And now it's just a real moment where people need to see what things are and they're true facts. And fast forward now to where we have, I don't know if you guys have seen this new video that Live Action made called Baby Olivia.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's kind of like the polar opposite of what you're saying. And it's that impactful. It's a beautiful live 3D video image of from conception to a baby at 9 months inside the womb. And you can literally see it moving and forming in the womb. And right now that's being actually passed to being shown in classrooms. Tennessee just made the call, I think a couple weeks ago, to actually have now, if you're in that health class learning about the body and reproduction, they're going to be showing this real image, this real illustration of a baby being formed in the womb. So hopefully that breath of fresh air and voice for life will shout out all the gore that people now know is the truth, because you can see these little babies in the womb that are so defenseless. And that's why we really need to be strong and passionate on this topic, because the other side is as passionate, but they don't have science as we do. I mean, we have science and faith and reason to go along with this fight.
Yeah, they have emotion and they have fear and a lot of elements that really, when you get to cut to the heart of it here, it is just murdering a person. They just look a little different than you right now. And until we get past that, and Bill Maher,
but another important point is we all look that small.
Right. Yeah.
We were all that small.
And by the grace
of
God, our mothers, you know, protected us, and we're born and we're here. And the other point was interesting, Bill Maher said, was so, you know, persons are persons in some states and not the others, because based on how this is going to be crafted state by state.
Yeah,
so we've got
that's a political statement.
Yeah.
It's a political statement.
But I always say there's two paths on this. There's changing the hearts and minds in the culture, and then carving out the political path to get things done. It's not pleasant all the time, but I think we got to walk on both paths to get there eventually. And I have high hopes for the younger generations when they see all this.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's so true. You have the 6-week, you have the 15-week argument, all these things. Bill Maher points out the absolutist position. You kind of lose your argument the second you start talking about, well, if it's 6 weeks versus 8 weeks, and how there is, especially with the pro-life generation, a new vibe, a new intensity to share that this is known and we can share this because you can see it yourself, which is very powerful, I think.
Yeah. Indeed. Alyssa, thanks for joining us. Check out Alyssa Murphy's good work at ncregister.com.
Thanks Alyssa.
Have a great day.
You too.
Sunday Gospel Reflections up next. Father Andrew Jones is joining the show. Stay with us on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor, Mike the Great, and Reed. On the line, Father Andrew Jones, pastor of City of St. Jude Parish in Montgomery. Good morning, Father.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, it's always great to be with you guys.
Amen. Sixth Sunday of Easter. Ready to dive into John's Gospel?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please do.
The Lord be with you.
And with
your
spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you: love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I have to apologize for my congestion. I was just at a retreat for priests in Colorado, and it snowed every day, and I got a cold.
That's a good reason to get a cold, though. Praise God.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a little bit jarring going from 86 degrees every day to 30 degrees.
And snow.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, it was beautiful and it was a great retreat, but I got a little congestion.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yeah, so depending on what's going on in your parish, the gospel that I just read, you may hear that one, but there's an option for another gospel also. And the reason for that is due to the Feast of the Ascension. So if as in our diocese, the Ascension is transferred to the following Sunday, then you have the option to do the Sunday gospel that would otherwise not be heard, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it does.
Yeah, so there's two options. They're both from John and they're both beautiful, but this one is the one that I'm going to be doing, and it's John 15, which is a beautiful chapter. It's also the same chapter that the vine and the branches came from that we had last Sunday. There are a few things that always stick out to me here, and I think, you know, John is so dense, and there's so many beautiful things in the Gospel of John, but a couple of things to look at. I think, first of all, that Jesus calls us his friends, and I think this is... this might be one of those things that because people grew up in the church or we've been around the church for a long time, we just sort of take for granted. But for God himself to call you friend is a pretty profound thing. As he says, you know, I don't call you slaves. And that's I would say for the vast history of the human race and their relationship with religion, most religions, if not all of them, that have gods, consider gods to be so far above you that you're basically a slave to them. Mm-hmm. And so what's unique about Christianity is exactly what Jesus is saying here. It's like God doesn't want to be your master. God wants to be your friend, your father. He wants a relationship of love with you, not just one of service. And this is, you know, so for those of us who may have like evangelical backgrounds or evangelical friends or family members, especially here in the Bible Belt, you might hear things like, well, Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. And sometimes this is used polemically against Catholics in particular to say like, well, you know, Catholicism is a religion and what you really need is a relationship. So you need to get rid of your religion because, you know, God doesn't want that. I would say, you know, it's a little foolish to say that because religion and relationship are really just the same thing. But, like, literally the words mean the same thing. But Catholicism is a relationship, and here we see the basis for that in Scripture. What Jesus wants to be your friend. He's your brother. God, he teaches us to call God our Father. But, you know, that criticism, although I think it's... wrong-headed in many ways, we would do well to sort of in the light of John 15 to ask ourselves, okay, well, am I a friend of God or not? And what would that look like? Well, Jesus tells us, you know, if you're my friend, if you keep my commandments. Well, how does that not just sound like doing rules, which right. is, you know, well, it's like, well, it could be that. You know, you could see, you know, but then what happens? Like if I think of Catholicism as jumping through hoops, then I'm back in that slave master thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a line we have to walk. And what is that? It's like, well, what is this about keeping the commandment? Well, what is the commandment that he says at the end? Love one another. So the commandment is a relationship commandment. So in other words, like, love and what kind of love are we talking about? Like Dr. Peter Kraft would always say, there's a difference between L-O-V-E love and L-U-V love, right? The kind of love that we talk about in the culture. So we're talking about L-O-V, like the kind of love that God shows us ultimately in the life of Jesus and his willing to lay his down his life freely for even his enemies. And that's the commandment. That's the right. And when Jesus is asked that in the Gospels, he says that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So, in other words, I can sit here and sort of like fret and be anxious about all the little tiny commandments and try to run algorithms in my head about how I'm supposed to act in certain situations and write a book about, you know, how many mortal sins are there and what are the paths to these mortal sins. And it's like, you know, that could be helpful. But what Jesus is saying is, you know, if you want to be my friend, just focus on love of God and love of neighbor. Like these are the ultimate guiding principles of my life. Make your life look like my life. Of course, you can only do that if you're connected to Jesus and the Holy Spirit's in you through baptism and faith. But, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's more simple than we try to make it out to be, and that we tend to make it more complicated. And I would suggest, you know, the more slave-like I feel like Catholicism is, that's not the fault of Catholicism. It might be my fault.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
You know, Father, last week, and I'm noticing something that ties in, and you remind us they're from the same chapter. They use the word remain a lot. Remain in me.
Yeah.
Remain. Kind of a reminder of like, I'm giving you a pathway. Just stay on the path. This, and here, it kind of picks up on that. But the reminder is remain in my love. Not like remain in my rules. This is what all of this is done at the heart of it for love, because I think a lot of us struggle with remaining. We like to be trying, you know, different paths or testing the boundaries, and rather than just relishing the pathway that was given us and remaining in it, because that is the pathway that's going to bring us the most joy, the most holiness, and a pathway to heaven, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, and the other thing, too, is if you look at all the commandments that are given, like take the Ten Commandments just as an example, they're obviously based in love. Like, if I love my neighbor, I won't covet what he has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I love my neighbor, I won't kill him, and I won't lie to him. Mm. So, yeah, exactly. Love really is the motivator. And to remain in the love of Jesus is, you know, again, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the grace that's given through primarily sacrament. So for us as Catholics, I think we have a much more easier way to imagine that, how that happens. Like, how do I remain in Jesus? Well, through prayer, of course, but how about through the great prayer that is, you know, the sacrament of the Eucharist?
Amen.
Like, I can literally remain in Jesus by eating him, receiving him into my body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so when you think of it that way, it's like all these things make sense. Oh, okay. Well, this is why Mass is so important. Mm-hmm. This is why the sacraments are so important, because this is how we remain. And, you know, just as an aside, the vine and the branches thing, I think the vine and the branches is the best way to understand how sacraments work. Because, you know, if you take a branch off the trunk, it's going to die. And say, well, okay, obviously, but why will it die? Well, you know, if you've ever cut branches off of trees, particularly like imagine like a fig tree. If you've ever had a fig tree, a lot of people have figs in their yard. You cut the branch off, like that sap starts oozing out. And fig trees have this like really dense white sap that immediately starts coming out. And this is why the branch is going to die, because it has no access to the sap. Now, what the sap in the spiritual life is grace.
Amen.
Right? So this is how I get the grace that God gives me. I have to remain on the trunk. How do I do that? What's the grace? It's through the sacraments.
Yeah.
That's how I remain on the trunk. Baptism primarily, which puts me onto the trunk. But then Eucharist, confession, all these things, that's the sap of the spiritual life. That's the remaining in me that he's talking about. I don't know. It's that vine and the branches to me is just is the easiest way to understand how sacraments work and how we get grace in our life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you cut yourself off from the life, then there is no life within you. So,
I mean, right. Which is what? That's what we call mortal sin. Mortal sin is like you get cut off. Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And then venial sin would be like what? It'd be like the tree branch has some disease in it. And so the sap is like having a harder time getting through.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. So good. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you had a nice retreat, Father. I'm really glad.
Yeah, you know, priests need that. You know, we need we do a lot of serving others, and very, very often we feel guilty about taking time for ourselves. But
it's good for you. If it's good for you, then it's good for all of us. It's good for the body.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. That's
the praise thing. God. May we have your blessing before you go, Father?
Yeah, absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father Andrew Jones, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
God bless you guys. You too.
Thanks. We thank our sponsor, Cromwell & Associates, a non-traditional law firm that focuses on estate and business planning. Cromwell & Associates can be reached at 251-605-9075. Or visit cromwell.associates. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, you and Ellen will take a look at the news from a Catholic perspective. Charlie Russo breaks down his article, Reckoning with the Reach of the Ministerial Exception. And Rich May shares his book, workbook on addressing moral confusion in our culture.
All right.
That's big.
Here we go.
And then, of course, we got the Pledge Drive.
Next week.
Pledge Drive. So we have such great listeners.
Yeah.
Y'all are so wonderful. And we're happy to be a part of this as we journey towards heaven, because heaven is waiting for us. So let's live that life. Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.